1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 3. We're going to end in 1 Corinthians 3, and we'll wander around a little bit in between. Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to start at verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he himself shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. I want to talk today about when the storms hit your house. When the storms hit your house. Let's pray together. Father, I pray today that you would help us to see your word and understand your word. And Lord, I pray that today we would prepare our houses for storms. And I pray you'd please speak to us now and give us your power. Please, may the Spirit speak, Lord. I pray all of us have prayed this week for the message. I pray every one of us is asking for you to bless. I pray today that every soul that's here, Lord, we have enough souls to change the world if we would really become great Christians and on fire and have your Spirit in a great New Testament way, Lord. And I pray that today every individual in this room, Lord, every age, every background would be spoken to, Lord. We just thank you for this time together. Please, Lord, bless this time. We need you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, structural integrity is pretty interesting. Just looking at buildings and how they're built. I remember when I was growing up, there was a college nearby my house, and this college, it had a sign outside. I had a picture of the nuclear sign, and it said, I don't remember exactly what the sign said, but I know it said something about a nuclear fallout shelter, and it said something about bomb. I don't remember all it said, but this college, literally the walls, every wall in this college, it was probably 4 feet thick. I mean, every way into this building, it was just a solid building. A lot of the building was underground, and it was incredibly, it was walls where you couldn't reach your hands to both sides of the wall. It was a very powerful, powerful building. I thought, and this is in the 80s when I used to go to this building just to do different things at the college there in our area. I thought, you know, if the Russians ever bomb us, you kids will never know, wondering what would happen if the Russians bomb us anymore. How many of you remember those days with the Russians bomb us days? And how many had to go under your desk and practice in school? How many had to do that? Oh, wow. That's a lot of you. You're old. We never practiced in school. I knew that we were always worried about the Russians bombing us. And they talked about that, but you know what? I guess my teachers didn't care if we got bombed because we never practiced. I don't know what the desk would do for you anyway. If a nuclear bomb goes off, I don't know if the desk is going to save you, but it makes you feel better. I used to think, you know, if something really happened bad, I'd run to that building. That's the most solid building. Then I've been in buildings in the third world where literally I watched one building and I think every wall was a different material. I think one wall was drywall. It didn't rain much there. I think one wall was corrugated tin, and one was a plastic wavy stuff that you put on your roof, and the other one was a piece of plywood, and then they had a rope around it. That was their house. I thought, man, I don't even know how it's staying up. You must like have something inside leaning and pushing it out or something, and it wasn't bigger than 6 foot by 6 foot, and that was, I thought, good night. If there's anything, this thing's gone. Any wind, anything, I could walk over and kick this thing in without any problem. And how buildings are built are fascinating. We just saw in Haiti, it was a big earthquake, but it wasn't that big of an earthquake. It was a big earthquake, but those buildings are not made in Haiti to handle that. They're just simple thin concrete with no reinforcement rebar or anything. And you know, concrete, when it shakes, falls apart. And the buildings were not well made, and things collapsed. And sometimes, you know, we had the earthquake the years ago, and we had very little damage in Seattle, although it wasn't as bad a quake. I understand that. You look at where a tornado goes through, and sometimes you see things destroyed, and sometimes you don't. Some buildings can handle hurricanes, and a lot of them can't. As a matter of fact, I don't know why they rebuild ones that can't in the areas where the last one got blown away. That's very curious they do that. But it's interesting to see the different buildings and how they're built and stuff. If you went and all of a sudden they gave you a piece of property and said, here, go build your house. This area was, Katrina came through here, not in New Orleans, because I don't think that we should pay for New Orleans to be rebuilt. A thing is 18 feet underwater, below sea level, on the sea. That's not real smart to me. But say you're in Mississippi, and they said, here you go. Now, tornado, you will get hit by a hurricane for a while, and hurricanes are going to come through here. We know ahead of time you're going to have hurricanes, but go ahead and build your house. How would you build your house? I would build my house to handle the hurricane coming. I don't know all the things about how to build a house, but it would seem like if you had that side that faces the ocean sloped a certain way, it seemed like you would have your studs wouldn't be 24 inches apart. It would be maybe a little bit above the ground level. Maybe you'd have a high foundation that would make you go up and maybe put it on a little hill there. You could think of all kinds of things. You'd build it pretty well if you knew the storm was coming, wouldn't you? You'd have a house that you knew could handle whatever had happened, and you'd be wise, and you'd want to build your house to handle the things that are coming in life. When our Christmas Day storm came, what was it? How was that, 4 years ago? And blew everything down. We had no power for 5 days. And my neighborhood has a lot of big trees, real big trees. And the neighbor's yard, we don't have any real big ones in our yard, but the neighbor's yard just right outside has very tall, skinny trees. And my side of the house, our bedrooms are all on one side of the house, but some are upstairs, some are downstairs. And we looked outside, and these trees were making weird noises and bending way over. Turned out in the morning, there was 12 trees on power lines within a half mile of my house. There was trees down everywhere. And they were bending way over, and I'm kind of crazy and reckless and don't worry about too many things. And I remember looking outside, and my wife was real nervous. And I said, all right, let's go to bed. It's bedtime. She says, I'm not sleeping down there. Where did those trees fall down? I said, the wind's blowing them that way, away from the house. We'll be fine. She goes, I'm not letting a kid sleep on this side of the house. I'm not sleeping inside the house. You're crazy. I said, I like my bed. Good night. And so there I went to sleep on that side of the house. And I said, you know what, honey? Even if it crashes down, it'll probably just fall through Josiah's side of the roof upstairs. And you know what? It ain't going to hit us down here. I think the house is strong enough that it'll handle the tree. And Josiah, well, you know, let's get some life insurance on him. But I said, you know what? It's not going to go through. We're in the basement. We'll be fine. And you know what? I said I'll be fine. So I slept downstairs all comfy in my bed, and they slept upstairs in the other side of the house on the couch and floor. And I slept good. And because, you know what? I figured the house can handle that tree's not too thick and it's blowing the other way. And I don't think the tree's going to fall this way. But they were smarter than me, and it was wise to do that. In life, you need to be prepared, because you're going to get hit with storms. The Bible mentions several storms in the Bible, and there are three different storms we see here. And they're very important storms, because many people don't have a house that can handle anything. There is walls that crumble. There are houses that can't handle anything. Before I moved here, I remember seeing on the news how that they had that big rainstorm, and all the houses on the hills slid down. Oh, man. I don't want to have my house destroyed in something like that. I don't want to have my house not prepared. Anybody in the Kent Valley right now who built their house a little higher is probably pretty glad. They're prepared even if the dam does break. It's good to be prepared. I want to talk about some thoughts on storms when you build your house of your life. Number one, just give me a few thoughts here. Number one, you better have a good foundation. You better have a good foundation. Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me keep your finger there, but we go to Matthew 7. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians again, but Matthew chapter 7, says, no other foundation can a man lay than that which is Jesus Christ. It does not matter how good the house is built. You could have studs every 14 inches. You can have 2x6 studs. You can have everything you want. You can build it with 1-inch drywall or whatever kind of board you want. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter if the foundation crumbles. You have to have a good foundation. And in life, you understand, storms are going to come. Storms are going to come in life. They come in many forms. They come in hardships. They come in trials. They come in eternity. But you're going to have storms in your life, and you better have the right foundation underneath your house, because the Bible likens your life to a house. And you build your life, and your life is built sometimes shabbily, sometimes cheaply, and sometimes it's built right according to the code of the Bible. And God tells you how to build a house. And if you build it right, it starts with the right foundation, the foundation of, first of all, Jesus Christ. That starts with salvation. You get saved. If you have the foundation of Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you ask Him into your life to forgive you your sins and realize that you're a sinner who needs a Savior, and you believe on Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Savior, the Bible says you get a foundation, and that foundation can never be shook. Listen, bad things, my life, I don't know how my life's going to go. My life might be, the rest of my life might be a lot of trials. I might have serious health issues. I might have serious family problems. I might have serious financial problems. I might have all kinds of issues. I don't know what the rest of my life's going to be like. You don't know what the rest of your life's going to be like. I do know this. If I know I'm going to heaven, I have a foundation that cannot be shook. I know where I'm going when I die. I know that if this life's terrible, if every kind of tragedy happens to me, if America falls apart and there's famine and everything else, I still know I'm going to be in heaven in beauty, perfection, and joy, and better than anything in the world forever, and it'll never change. That foundation cannot be shook. But if you lay a different foundation in your life, you can be shook real easy. The weather can make you messed up. Your car problems can mess you up. Your relationships can ruin your life. Everything, because you don't have a good foundation, and you built your house up on a shaky foundation. First of all, you built it on Jesus Christ. That's being saved. You don't lay that foundation, your life has no foundation. One car accident, and you are dead. I'm a careful driver. So are the people who had Toyotas whose gas pedal stick and died. So the people who were driving on the road and the drunk driver swerved over. So the people, listen, I've been a good driver and been stopped at an intersection, and the guy behind me wasn't. Okay? You got to have the foundation of salvation in Christ. That's the foundation of everything. Second foundation that we lay is Matthew chapter 7, and if you go to verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever of you that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains ascended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. That was the houses sliding down the hills in Seattle in the rainstorm. It didn't matter how good the house is built, you're sliding down a hill. It's gone. Unless you put skis in the bottom of that thing and it gently descends when it gets to the bottom, you got issues. I don't think that would work. Don't try that. Kind of fun, but, you know, it's kind of like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. Kind of fun until you land. You know, it doesn't matter in your life. If you don't base your life in the Bible, there's no solid foundation. And you got to do what this book says right here. The Word of God. Build your house upon the sayings of Jesus. You know what I found just as a Christian and serving God? I found something real simple. You know, it's real simple, but you know what? The Bible works. I found that if you follow what the Bible says in your life, though you say it might not make sense, you had other ideas and other plans in your life. No. You follow the Bible, your life is on a foundation that never can be shaken. It's perfect. It's the Word of God. It lasts forever. And God holds you to that standard. And many a person just laughed at the Bible and mocked the Bible. You know what? They built their house upon the sand. And you know what? Their 401k crashed. And their life fell apart. And all of a sudden, their spouse, who they thought they'd grow old with, got cancer. All of a sudden, their job laid them off and everything they had built up. All of a sudden, their child broke their heart and their life was gone. See, you build your house upon the things of this world. These things of this world are not stable. Nothing's stable in this world. I was laughing this week as I was following the financial things. They went and everybody's been jumping to European currency because the dollar has been so unstable. But then all of a sudden they found out Greece is bankrupt and some of the countries in Europe are in real serious financial trouble. So you know what they did? They jumped to the dollar. You know how many dollar bills we printed up this year we don't have money for? But they said it's the most stable thing there is. Listen, folks, I invest, and I think investing's good. I'll invest in gold. Gold's always stable. Gold will go down to $200 an ounce again, $250 an ounce again. And you can't eat gold. And gold's a good thing, but you know what? If you buy right now at $1,200 an ounce, and you might sell it someday for $250 an ounce. Folks, there's a lot of things in this world that change. Weather changes. Finances changes, governments change, health changes, everything changes. You better have your life built upon this book because everything else crumbles. You know how many of us have experienced that? Without Christ, life is unstable. You have to lay the right foundation. Do what the Bible says. I was at a study, and they used to do these market studies, and they'd give you like $100 for an hour where they'd ask you a bunch of questions. How many have done a market study like that where they bring you in and ask you questions? Okay. I did one of those, and it was by a mobile home manufacturer. And they didn't tell us who it was by, though. And they kind of went the backward way and were asking us a bunch of questions about comfort in houses. And they eventually wanted to get at how to market these things. And they finally got the question. They said, well, how many of you would have ever looked into buying a manufactured home? They're not mobile homes anymore. They're manufactured homes. And I had done that, and I raised my hand. And they said, okay. And they said, so you wouldn't have a problem owning a manufactured home. And manufactured homes are made real nice now. They're made to code. They're really nice and nice. I like the layout of them. They're more open than houses are now, and they're one story, and I kind of liked it. And I said, yeah, I wouldn't mind owning one here, but I wouldn't want one in Kansas or Oklahoma or something. And they went, like they're offended at that. And they said, why not? I said, well, because weather doesn't cause tornadoes. Manufactured homes cause tornadoes. They just get built right on top of the mobile home parks and kill the mobile home parks. And I said, you know what? They said, well, you know, they're built just as solidly as a house. They're built the same code, 16-inch apart studs, 2x6 studs, da-da-da-da-da. I said, yeah, but they're not on a foundation. And I don't like being Dorothy. I think if I go up in a tornado, I'm not going to do this. Toto, who's that? I don't think that's what happens when you go up in a tornado. I think I will find myself in a million pieces in the next county. And I said, it's not on the foundation. I said, here, no problem. I don't mind not being a foundation. But there's tornadoes. I need a foundation. You know what? Storms are going to come like that in life, though, and you better have a foundation laid, which is the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Those are the foundations of your life. What is the basis of your happiness? What's the basis of what you do in life? Is it where the economy's leading you? Is it how everything's going? Is it how your health is and how your money is? Or is your foundation on a book that'll never change? On a Savior who will always be there for you and will never leave you nor forsake you. On a home in heaven. Storms are going to come in life. Trials are going to come in your life. You better have the right foundation. And if you don't live according to this book, you will find the winds come and the storms come and your life falls apart often because you're on sand and sand just drifts right out with the water. It's not stable. You can build a good life. You can build a well-planned life. You can get your education right, study right, go to everything right, plan everything right, have everything written out, have a great plan. You know what? If it's not built in the Bible, though it might be a great house, it's still on sand. It's still on sand. And so don't do that. Build your life upon the Bible. Just do what it says. Follow God's way for your life. Don't do your own plan. Number two, first of all, we said you better have a good foundation. Secondly, you better not have weak walls. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 10. This is a fascinating passage. If you have your Bibles, I'll read Ezekiel chapter 10. Fascinating chapter. I'm sorry, Ezekiel 13. I wrote down, I thought that was wrong. Ezekiel 13. In this chapter, false prophets came into Israel and they said, you are going to, God's not going to punish you. Everything's going to be just dandy. The prophets that kept on coming, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and the other prophets in the Old Testament, they came and said, God's going to punish this nation. And they said, no. The false prophets came and said, no, there's going to be peace. There's going to be a whole bunch of peace. Everything's going to be fine. And so they built their plans upon that God wasn't going to be mad at them. They could continue their idols. And they just built their life that everything's going to be just hunky-dory. And God says, you know what? I'm really upset at that. And there's a particular prophet where it names here that comes in here. But let me read you some verses. We'll read about him in a sec. Verse 6. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. They gave false prophecies. Verse 10. Because because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, peace. And there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempted mortar. In other words, you laid a brick there, and the mortar you put in between was weak, and it wasn't mixed right, and it's not going to stay together. It's wrong, and it's not made right. Say unto them which daub it with untempted mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overwhelming shower, O ye. O great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith we have daubed it? All of a sudden the rain comes, you have mixed it, and all of a sudden it just starts washing out in between the bricks, and it just washes away. They said, where's the mortar we put in between these bricks? It says, O ye, verse 13, therefore thus saith the Lord, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger, and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar, and bring it down to the ground, so the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus shall I accomplish my wrath upon the wall, and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. To wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem, which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith God. Listen, you better have strong walls. Because I'm standing in a storm, and all the mortar that's holding those walls together, I'm going to wash it out. And there is weak walls in a lot of people's lives. Oh, they're building their life upon partying, but you know, partying goes away. They build their life upon all kinds of things. They build upon their athleticism. They build it upon all kinds of things. And they're building with untempered mortar, things that wash away. You mix it, you build your life on immorality, but you know what? It's not mixed right. It just washes away. Listen, weak walls. In my house, in our downstairs, they converted it to it used to be a garage, and now it's our master bedroom. And we have our room, and then we have a bathroom there. But that bathroom is the wall between my room and the bathroom is a false wall. I mean, what a false wall is. There's no studs in there. I can walk up that wall. I can push it. It goes. It just looks like a wall. It's a facade. You know what? They call things. This is not real. It's just fake. It looks like that. It's not really going to hold anything up. I wouldn't want to be laying next to that wall in an earthquake if my house is collapsing. It's not going to hold anything up. Looks good. And many people build their lives on a facade of all these things. They put in an act. They act like they're happy. And they build their life and say, I'm going to have a good life. I'm going to have peace. And they don't realize that their life is going to be destroyed because they are not following God. They have weak walls in their life. And the thing that holds your life together is something that's very unstable and something that does not last. And something's not going to be there. And many young people do this, especially in their late teens and 20s. They go out and they build their life looking like it's going to have a great life and look like eternity is going to be great for them. Everything's going to be fun for them because they got a plan. Everything's going to be good. Let me tell you, you're building weak walls if you build it on immorality and your own plan and wickedness in the world. The world changes and goes away. Everything you think will never go away will change. Everything you build your life on in this world, it's weak walls and they will not hold your roof up in a storm. God says, I'm going to send a big storm in your walls, and it's going to wash it away. And some people wake up and say, you know what? What was I doing? I thought I had the world by the horns, and all of a sudden the bull threw me, and my plan was not as good as I thought it was. I'm not building my life upon God's word and God's plan. Many people have fake walls. They aren't strong walls. I will destroy those walls with a storm, God says. You know who's like this? Hypocrites. You have a wall. It looks like a real wall. Oh, I'm spiritual. Then let the trials and the storms come in your life, and your fake wall gets revealed real quick. You're a hypocrite. You act spiritual, and you look spiritual, and you tell pastor you're spiritual, and you go to a very spiritual church, but you're a hypocrite. You're not real. Listen, those hypocrites who go out there, and I don't know if we have any in here today, but can I tell you, your hypocrisy will look good to us. And you might be able to fool us, maybe. But you know what? When the storms come, your hypocrisy is a fake wall. And it crumbles. You're putting on an act. And God will reveal that thing with trials, with storms in your life. Do not put on an act like you're spiritual if you're not spiritual. I've always said, listen, if you're not spiritual, why go to church? Sleep in. Watch football. Get up and cook a nice big breakfast. Lay around all day and take Sunday off and work in your garden. But listen, there's too much to do to be hypocrites. That's a false wall. Get a real relationship with God. Don't just come to church because you want to impress somebody. Be a real Christian. Don't build false walls in your life. There's other false walls we have in our life. That's people who have no real relationship with God. Hypocrites put on an act, but other people, they go and they don't have their own personal relationship with God. Listen, you are what you are when nobody's watching. See, a lot of people are good when their parents are watching, or they're good when their pastor's watching, or they're good when their spouse is watching. But what about when nobody else is watching? See, God's always watching. If you have a real relationship with God, you'll do right, though nobody's watching. See, your wall is a fake wall because you don't really know God and don't really love Him and have a personal relationship. And you, even though nobody else is watching and you're on the internet, or even though nobody else is watching and you're watching TV, or nobody else is watching and the money's there and you could grab it and steal it, or you could get away with it, you know God's watching. We have a whole bunch of deceptive people who are living double lives now. You've seen it, haven't you? They put on one act. It's literally the point where we find guys are married to six different people. And all these different wives don't know about it. And we got all these fake lives going on out there. People acting like there's something. But you know what? God knows what you really are. And those fake walls will crumble. If you don't do it for God, God's going to send a storm, and it's all going to crumble around you, and you will wish you were real, and you built up some real walls. You need to love Jesus enough that when He's watching, that's enough. That you know Him personally enough, that if Pastor Byron was not the pastor here, and he never visited you, never called you, and all of a sudden this church was here, and nobody was there to pressure you, and your friends did not call you to check if you're coming, you're going to be at church anyway, because you love Jesus. Don't put up a false wall. Have a real relationship with Jesus. False walls don't hold you up, and God's going to try your wall. And if it's a fake wall with bad mortar, God's going to go and send, and He says, bricks are good. That's fine, but you don't got anything holding your life together. And it's not real. It will be revealed by a storm, and God will wash it out. Verse 13, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I'll even rend it with a stormy wind and my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger. And the prophet said, you know what? There's nothing wrong here. It's peace. It's peace. It's fine. God said, I'm revealing that fake wall. This is a lie. And you know what? He said, I'm going to do it in my fury because I want to reveal that it's lies and it's not really what I say. Number three, we said you better have a good foundation. You better have good walls. Number three, you better have good materials. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Better have good materials. You follow all the Chinese drywall that they built on the houses after the hurricane. It's dangerous. It's rotting all the nails and the screws and everything. It's ruining everything because it's bad materials. Bad materials. Better use good materials. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 says the foundation is Jesus Christ. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. So you got the foundation, and then you build on that foundation, and you build it with wood or hay or stubble or gold or silver or precious stones. It says, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's revealed, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. You will face a firestorm someday. So you build your house, and this is the eternal house, and you build this house, your rewards, your life when you get to God, and all you built up, all that you're giving, all you're praying, all you're going to church, all you're loving people, all of your every labor, picking up the church afterward and encouraging word to somebody and bringing food for the food bank. All you do, you're building a house, and it's your treasures in heaven. But you better build good with things, because God says God tries with a firestorm what your works are made of. The Bible says, for example, in Matthew chapter 7, woe unto the hypocrites, they pray to be seen of men, and they have their reward. It's burnt up. See, three of those materials are flammable: wood, hay, and stubble. You build your house out of wood, hay, and stubble, and a firestorm comes, you're in trouble. But gold lasts. Silver lasts. Precious stones last. And it says some things last and hang around, and some things disappear, and they do not last. You better have good materials. When they built the Bible college I went to, Brother Hiles was wise enough. He said, you know what? I know someday this is going to be a liberal, wacky institution, because everything in mankind goes downhill, and eventually it's going to not believe the Bible and go against the Bible and do things like that, because every institution of man does that. They all do that. Romans 1 teaches us that. Everything goes downhill. Everything's depraved and eventually disappears. You'd be surprised. You know, Princeton used to be the hotbed of Christianity in America. So was Wake Forest. So was Baylor. They aren't anymore. Things change. So he said, you know what? We don't have any money. We're poor. And you know what? We're going to build this building, but we're going to build it so cheap that when the liberals come in and move into the thing, it's going to fall down on their heads. And that's what he said. And so he built it real cheap. But you're looking at the guy who did the drywall repairs for that building. They build very cheap. And drywall comes in many different thicknesses. And whatever the thinnest, I think it was 3/8. It was thin. It was the thinnest plywood you could, or plywood, but a drywall you could get. And you know what happens when stupid college students who like to wrestle fall into very thin drywall walls? You get big holes. There's one particular spot, my dorm floor, and there's a set of stairs, and you went down these stairs, and then right in front of the stairs, before you had to turn the corner, you had to come to the bottom of the stairs, and you had to go down the hallway, but every dumb college student, too much energy, would run down those stairs and fall into that wall, and then go run down the thing. And there was always a hole in that wall. And I'd go and fix the hole, and they'd knock another hole, and I'd fix the hole, and knock another hole. I fixed the thing about 6 times, and said, I'm not fixing this thing anymore. And I went, and I got a bunch of and it was 2x4s, by the way, 2x4s, not 2x6s, and I got about 6 2x4s, and I cut a big section right where it always broke through somewhere in that section. I cut a big section about yay big, and I put all those 2x4s down in the middle. And they're about this far apart. I put the drywall back on and said, let's see them break through this thing this time. Oh, man, now we're having kids going, saying, man, that wall, oh, my arm, oh. And it was awesome. There'd be little tiny spots where you'd see where the drywall just get dented a little bit. But, man, I was injuring all kinds of students. It was awesome. And no more they break that wall, because I built good materials after that. If you guys are going to wrestle, you have to wrestle in that hallway in front of that wall right there. But you know what? Because I built it really, really strong. I built it to last. I built it to go on. And this firestorm, when you stand in front of Christ, God says, hey, you gave $10,000. That's awesome. But you know what? You did it to impress the preacher. And you know what? Pastor Byram doesn't even know who gives, you dummy. And you know what? You lost it all because you did it to be seen of men. And I don't know who gives and what they give. I never count it. Look at it. Don't care. As long as they give millions, we're fine. But you know what? God sees why you give. You pray. You can pray to be seen of men, and God says you have a reward. You can give to be seen of men. Why do you do what you do? Build your house with good walls, because someday whatever's left, you get to keep in eternity. It says right here in chapter 3, verse 14. It says verse 13. It says it's revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. In other words, it doesn't decide your salvation, it's deciding your reward. You're either saved or not saved, but you get to go to heaven with a whole bunch of rewards, or all of it gets burnt up. So you've got to have good building materials. You're building your house on Jesus Christ, yet you're building with good foundations, the right motivations. You know, folks, it's crazy. Some of you have been to churches like this, you in the church, and everybody's fake. Everybody's putting on an act. It is so sad that people don't have real walls holding their life up, and real walls that, because it's revealed by fire, you die and you go before the judgment seat of Christ and everything's revealed. You can fool people, you can hide things, but when God reveals everything, it just comes out just like it is. And somebody we thought was the greatest Christian and somebody who stood in front of everybody and seemed all great, we're going to find out they were nothing. And somebody we didn't know much about, we're going to find out they were the greatest in the kingdom of heaven because they were servants because they loved Jesus. There's good motivations. You love Jesus. You love other people. The glory of God. There's a bunch of great motivations to do things for. A bunch of bad motivations. By the way, people with bad motivations, they eventually don't do right anymore because they don't get enough attention at some point. If I have to pat you on the back to serve God and to do right, and if you're not going to do right if I don't pat you on the back, there will be a point where you don't do right. Number one, I'm not a good back patter. I wish I was a better back patter. I'm better at that probably than a back patter, backside something. I'm not good at patting me on the back. And I forget, and I'm busy. Oh, aren't you wonderful? You brought food for the food bank. Oh, isn't that great? Then I forget next time. I'm not bringing food. He didn't even appreciate it. Do it for Jesus. Amen. Don't do it for me. Do it for Jesus. Do it for because you want somebody who's hungry to be fed. Go witness to somebody, though it's hard, because you love that person. You want them to be with Jesus forever. Do what you do for the right reasons. Build on with good materials, not bad materials. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as though by fire. I would do things if I did it for the wrong motivation until I got the right motivation. Because you know what? If you feed a poor person, they still get fed. Better do the right thing for the wrong motivation than not do the right thing. Tonight, you go to church because you love Jesus more than football. Got to put that in again. And more than the Super Bowl even. I mean, you do things for because you love God. You do things because you love people. You do things for God's glory. You do things because it's the right thing to do. And you know what? That keeps you doing it when it's tough. Do you do works that do not last? Did you go buy a meal and you got cotton candy and you're hungry 10 minutes later? Or did you buy something that's going to put some meat in your ribs? Is your life built on things that matter? Is your life going to last? Is your life good? Are you going to be happy with what you did? Did you build the good materials? Or just poof. There it went. This life is too precious to burn up for things that won't matter. Live for God. You got storms coming. Do you have a good foundation? You got storms coming. Do you have weak walls? Storms are coming. They're using good materials. Let's get ready for the storm. Remember, the storm's going to come. And you're going to go through trials in life and trials in eternity that are going to test what you have. God is going to send storm. Remember he said, like you're building a house, how do you want your house built? It is going to come. Are you building your house like it's ready for a hurricane? Or do you say, you know what? Hey, what do you? How much cheap can we build it? You know what? Hey, just put little 2x4s every 24 inches and put 3/8-inch drywall. And you know what? Forget a roof. Just put the boards together close. Listen, your walls, it's not going to last, and you're going to have nothing. And it's going to be a terrible destruction, great as the fall thereof. By the way, don't even lay a foundation. Just put it in the ground. It costs money to lay a foundation. Boy, you're in trouble. And many people's lives just go, don't do that. Have a life built on a rock that lasts forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you teach us about storms in your word. I think that great